I'd like to read for a text a portion of scripture from the Gospel of John, and be in chapter 19 and beginning with verse 13. And we'll read through verse 30. Chapter 19 and beginning with the 13th verse, and reading the words in Jesus' name. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Amen. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Father, we ask that you would open them to us and that you would speak to us through them and remind us of that great price that you did pay for ourselves, for our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. That first, that 13th verse, he said, when Pilate therefore heard this saying, he brought forth Jesus. The saying that he heard were the Jews crying out that if you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. And they went on and said that whosoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. This whole thing was just filled with humanness, I guess, if you will, for the lack of a better term. There wasn't anything in here that was because of what God wanted, or God wanted it, he allowed it, of course, but there was nothing spiritual about it. It was just all what man wanted. It was all what people afraid of losing their power. People just, it was basically fear. It was basically fear. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat him down at the judgment seat. And it was in preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. It seems as though he even believed that Jesus was the king of the Jews. Whether that's true or not, I can't tell you for sure, but he says it a couple of different times and writes it. And the people cried out, Away with him. Away with him. How many years did they try to get rid of him? It's 3+ years for sure. They just wanted to do away with him because he was a threat to their organization. He was a threat to the way they did business. And all he wanted to do was bring a better way. All he wanted to do was bring salvation to the world. And they didn't want it. And they refused to believe it. All he wanted was for them to know and understand the love and the compassion that he has for them. The songwriter says that heaven's gates were open wide when Jesus died. Those gates were thrown open because of what Christ did, because of the salvation that he offers even today. They cried out and they said, Away with him, crucify him. And Pilate said to them, Shall I crucify your king? And the chief priest said, We have no king but Caesar. They're supposed to be the religious people of that time. They're supposed to be teaching the people about God and what God wants. And then they make a statement like that. We have no king but Caesar. They were just totally, completely and totally off base. And then they delivered him, therefore, to him and to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into the place called Golgotha. So often it is depicted that Jesus has the cross over his shoulder, and he's dragging it down the road, and some of you may have seen, this time of year, there's usually somebody in the country somewhere where they're hauling a cross around for whatever their reasons are, I don't know. To draw attention to the fact that Jesus did die in some cases. But for the most part, when it says that he took up his cross, basically what he was taking was just the horizontal beam, because the vertical part was already planted in the ground. And so that they would give him that beam to carry for himself. And it was a form of humiliation. You see, the crucifixions took place outside of the city. When Pilate wrote on that cross, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, he also wrote on the crosses of the two robbers that were there with him. And this was a common practice. The purpose for doing this was so that anybody walking by and seeing them there would know why they were punished. But it would also act as a warning. So that, don't do that kind of thing, because this is what's going to happen to you. Okay, so historically, that's fine. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Why is that something that's bad? Now, of course, we know that the Pharisees, the scribes, they didn't like it. But it seems almost as though that Pilate just didn't understand it. In fact, in previous to this time, he even said, I don't find any fault with him. He hasn't done anything wrong. Why are you wanting to kill him? But then because of his fear of the people, he went ahead and let them have them. And there they crucified him with two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the middle. And Pilate wrote a title, put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And this title then read many of the Jews. And also, it doesn't say that here, but it also, there were a lot of Gentiles that were there that witnessed this crucifixion. You see, God's plan was already at work. His plan was already there, and it was already getting started, and it was already proceeding. Because salvation wasn't just meant for the Jews. Salvation was meant for you and I. So the people that were there, and it was there during Passover, so of course there were an awful lot of people there, business people and so on. But it encapsulated or incorporated all of the people that lived in that area. And it didn't matter. They were Jewish or Gentile or Samaritan, whatever they were. They all saw this taking place. And this was God's plan. This is what he wanted. Because he wanted all to know and to understand what he was doing for them. Said it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. There were three different languages that were spoken at that time. Some were the official language, some were business language, some were language from people in other lands. But all the bases were covered. God made sure of that. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Don't write the King of the Jews, but write that he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" And then Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." I think he was pretty much done with them. Some of the things that I've read about basically said that he was through with it. This is it. What I've done, that's it, live with it, is basically what he was saying. And again, it was God's plan going into action. Letting the world know that this was Christ. This was the Messiah who was hanging on that cross. And then as time goes on, the disciples picked it up. As time went on, the disciples began to do the teaching and to explain just what it was that Jesus had done and why he had died. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, they took his garments, made four parts to every soldier, a part, and also his coat, and the coat was without seam, woven from top to bottom. This too was not uncommon. Typically, there were probably four soldiers with the squad that was in charge. This happened in several different places, talks about it. But when they came to the coat, it was seamless. And so they said, "Well, let us therefore," they said among themselves, "let's not rend it, but cast lots for it." It's a story that we've heard so often. But it was said because it was prophesied. It's again, this is God working. Again, this is God working in the life of everybody that was there. If you look in the book of Psalms, and I'm not going to go there, but in chapter the 22nd Psalm, verse 18, it says this exact same thing. "They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots." These things the soldiers did. It was prophesied way back in David's time already that it was going to take place. God covers all of his bases. He doesn't leave anything to chance. He doesn't leave anything to, well, maybe this will happen, maybe. No, he covers it all. He is so complete and so thorough that there is nothing left for chance or for anything else. It's totally and completely in his control. Now there stood by the cross Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." But then he said to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. Jesus' family wasn't there other than his mother. His brothers, sisters, if he had any, they weren't there. Or at least it doesn't, there's no place that says that they were. They believed in Christ later on in their life. James is a good example. And he actually became the ruler of the temple in later years. But it wasn't the temple that is talked about here. It was a temple of Christianity. It was a temple of Christ and how his salvation was given to all mankind. But at this point, they weren't there. And so that's why he said in that verse 27, he said to that disciple, "Behold thy mother." And basically what he was doing was he was transferring the guardianship to that disciple. Most of the time it said that it was John, but there is nothing specifically stated as to who it was other than the disciple who Jesus loved. But he just kind of revamped his whole family system. The family was not taking care of their mother anymore at this point, which was something in the Jewish religion that had to be done. The family took care of family. Jesus, no, he didn't do that. He asked his disciple to take care of his mother. And he even called her the disciple's mother. And the disciple did exactly that. From that hour, from that moment, that disciple took her into his own home. But this is a message for us also. It's a message for us to take care of others, family members, or whoever happens to be in need. If we have an opportunity, if we have a way of helping, regardless of who they are, Scripture wants us to do that. God wants us to help out. I'm often reminded of the expression that the Scripture speaks of, a soft answer turns away wrath. I've experienced it a couple of times, less than I'd wish, less than I'd want to. But it works. It really works. If somebody's mad or upset, if somebody's angry, or not getting along with you or somebody else, and you go to that one and you talk to them in love and compassion, even as what Jesus says here, to take care of his mother. It seems like the whole thing just kind of calms down. But that's what Jesus wants, and that's how it is. And that's what he was doing here. He was still portraying love for the entire world, even though they were trying to kill him. He was still portraying love and allowing the scribes and the Pharisees every last opportunity to know and understand who he was and what he was doing. He didn't just say, "Well, okay, that's it, that you're done, I'm finished with you now, let's go, you know, we're moving on." No, that's not what he did. He did not give up on them. He doesn't give up on us. The only time that we are given up on is when we give up on ourselves, or if we give up on Christ. And I hope that never happens to anybody. I hope and pray that we always look to Him, regardless of what the circumstances are, regardless of how hard it is. Know and understand that He is there. Know and understand that He is gracious and He is constantly looking out. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, put it on his hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. In another translation, it says that it is complete. Either way, the job was done. Do you know what's interesting? The job wasn't finished yet. This portion of it was, and please don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to take anything away from this. This portion of what God's plan was completed. It was done. It was finished. But it was still going to have to go on 3 days later. It was going on 3 days later when Christ was resurrected from the dead. When he had victory over sin. And he had victory over the devil. And he had victory over death. That's the completion of the plan. So at this point, it is finished. That portion of the plan was done. And Jesus had fulfilled every bit of it completely and perfectly. Never, ever making any type of an error or mistake or falling into sin. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost, which in itself, historically, was very unusual. But again, it was God that had the plan. Oftentimes, for those who were on the cross, they would break their legs so that they could not support themselves and then basically would suffocate. This didn't happen to Jesus because Scripture says that not a bone of his body would be broken. God was still in control. It doesn't matter what the situation is in our life. It doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter what we see or think or consider. God is in complete control. And he will never leave us or forsake us. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It was finished. And now he would be buried. And Sunday we'll talk about what he did when he came alive. In his name. Amen. Father, thank you for your message. Thank you, Lord, for your gracious love and compassion that you've had for us. Thank you, Father, that you have continued to love us even over all this time. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine before us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm-hmm.